Father in heaven, we remember especially today, although we could remember every day, that our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. This, as we will review this later this morning, is a great seal or receipt for our redemption. We thank you for being satisfied with the death of Christ and his perfect life, which provide for us not only the righteousness that we need, but also the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for this twofold aspect of the atonement. This morning, as we remember that resurrection and think on it, we pray that you will be pleased with our affections and the desires of our heart. We pray for our brother Thompson as he comes to share with us from the Word this morning for a few minutes. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, Brother Thompson, Terry Thompson, here in the third row right behind the Brattons, is going to speak this morning. We're glad to have them with us. They come down from Northland on their way to parts south and back home eventually to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Terry is the General Director of the Gospel Mission of South America, and many of you know that mission because I serve on the U.S. board and enjoyed just over a year ago, traveling down to South America. That was a great blessing. Carol is also with him here, and we enjoyed their company yesterday. We wore out Carol with baseball. John did, actually. And while Terry and I stood around, talked, and watched the ball game, she was out there playing with the boys. That was nice. Very, very beautiful day yesterday to be outdoors, for sure. Let's start with hymn number 146 this morning. I'm going to ask Dan if he'll come and lead us in hymn 146, Blessed Calvary.
Thank you. Let's turn to number 176, please. 176. And I'd ask that you stand with me as we sing this one.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Thank you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bibles this morning. Chapter 27, verse 57. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive that how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go up to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's take our hymnals again and sing 192. Sorry, Jay, we're getting up and down here. 192. Dan, could you help us with that one as well?
Let's stand together, please. be seated.
A couple of programming notes, if you would allow me, here this morning. I want to invite Brother Thompson in just a moment to share the word. This service we plan to have over around 9:30, so if he can share with us the word and close. Maybe Dan, you can help close with hymn 268. I'm going to jet out just in a few minutes to go pick up a couple of folks that called us and asked for rides this morning so they can be here for breakfast as well as the morning service, folks that we contacted through the mailing. And just also for your prayer and note, Brother Bennett is not going to be here this morning. I was called last night at the dinner table from Briarwood Baptist Church, and Pastor Mattis took himself to the hospital, and they decided to observe him overnight for chest pains. He's about 87 years old, and so they needed some extra help teaching and preaching the word this morning. And I said, well, I volunteered him, and he kindly agreed to help them out. They have somebody else there to help as well, so he doesn't have to do both services, but he'll do the one at 10 o'clock. They're actually having breakfast, then a Sunday school, and then their worship service. So if you'd be in prayer for him as he ministers that way. And I think Sarah's going to be here today. I don't know if she's here yet. No, she is. Okay. So they're splitting up for today, and she wanted to be here to minister with the ladies in the song that they've practiced. So we can be in prayer for them as they minister in both churches today. All right, Brother Thompson, I'm going to invite you without further ado. We mostly all know Terry, and look forward to your message from the Word. Thank you.
Since we saw you folks last, Carol and I last year were able to serve in Chile, filling in for two missionaries that were on furlough. And one of them was our son, who works in southern Chile in a Bible camp ministry and three different churches, Indian churches up in the mountains. And in one of those churches called Liquiñe, we were in a time of a fellowship with a brethren there. And one of the older men was giving me his testimony of how he came to Christ. And he told me he said I was about 25 years old, and he said I was into alcohol and strong drink and just a drunkard, and my life was already useless. And he said they came preaching the gospel there, probably with a tent they put up in those mountains, and they would run a week of evangelistic services. And he heard the gospel, and the second night when he heard the gospel, he believed in Christ and received Christ as his Savior. And the men that were preaching met with him afterwards, and this is what he said, and it stuck in my mind. He said, they set me down, they looked at me, and they said, you have not done business with us, you have done business with God. And I don't know about you, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, those of you who know him as Savior, but did you do business with men, or did you do business with God? And salvation is of the Lord, and we do business with God. And I could agree with that gentleman. And his whole family has gone on. Most of the church is comprised of his sons and relatives, and that church is still going on probably 60 years after it was founded. And the testimony of one man who did business with God when he got saved, and he remembered it. Not something that goes away. I'm just going to give a little bit of background, first of all, before we get to the part I want to share with you from the Word. But let's have a word of prayer again. Our Father, again, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that salvation is all of you, and you provided it for us. We thank you for that day when we accepted and believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we just pray now that as we open your Word, you would speak to our hearts. And you would continue, Lord, to equip us and prepare us for the ministry of the gospel. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to share some background to my thoughts of the resurrection. When I think of the resurrection, I want to begin by just some verses in Luke chapter 20. When I came to Christ as a boy out on the farm, I didn't know a lot about the gospel, a lot about the Bible. I knew that I was a sinner, And that I truly believe when I heard that Jesus died for my sins, to pay for my sins, and that all who would believe on Him and call upon Him would be saved, and I did that. But as the years went by, I kept learning more and more. And Bible school helped, and Sunday school helped, and I'm grateful for all the teachers that invested in my life. But there were people in the Bible who had questions about the resurrection too, the Sadducees. And in Luke chapter 20, the Lord Jesus Christ had to answer some questions. I'll just start reading in verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he be without children, and then his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother, there were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife and died with childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, where he called the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And these men were, of course, trying to, in some way, trap the Lord in this question that they asked, perhaps not in the right motive for it, but they did answer a question. The Lord Jesus Christ, as far as really clear on the resurrection and his teaching, and the fact that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were alive. I had a sister who passed away in December, and out in Washington State on the farm, and she had trusted that the Lord would heal her, and of course he did when he took her home. That is really healing and atonement. That's when it's all taken care of. No more pain and no more death and no more tears and that. But when I think of my sister, I still think of her as alive. And when I think of my parents, they're both with the Lord too, I still think of them as alive. And it really does affect even the decisions I make. So this is what Christ was saying here. Abraham's alive. And Isaac's alive, and Jacob's alive, and so God is the God of the resurrection and his presentation. Another verse that helps me too with background is as far as this whole issue is Romans chapter 1. And just reading verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. I'll read verse 19 too. Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And then verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the whole challenge in my life over body being raised back to life has to do with this issue of the beginning of life and the creation. God says those things that are invisible, that, and I suppose that you would just say a resurrected body, I've never seen one. But can I believe in it? Yes, when I see the power of God to create life, which I enjoy and which you enjoy and which the whole world is, our earth is full of it. That author of life, the prince of life, yes, I can believe in the resurrection because of that. And it's that same power that created the whole universe that I enjoy that is also responsible for all resurrection life. And these are just background things that are in my life and my heart. And in the end, the author of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's with reason back in 1 John. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read 1 John 5 and verse 12. Because it says in this point, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So creation, life, and resurrection, they're all bound up in one in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Creator. He's the one who rose from the dead to save us from our sins. And the Bible speaks very plainly, the person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has life, eternal life. And the person who doesn't, of course, doesn't have the life, because there's only one way. It's an exclusive gospel that we share and that we believe in today. So now, let's go to the part of, that I wanted to share with you this morning from God's Word. That what the resurrection, it isn't just a fact. It isn't just something that we believe in and acknowledge. The Bible says even the demons believe in God. And so head knowledge is one thing, but how does that change our lives? How does it affect our life? How does the resurrection affect our life as far as in service to God? And the best example I can find is in Hebrews chapter 11. And Abraham, of course, being our example. And there's so much in Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to go there. We don't have time to do that. But I just want to start out with how the power of God, the originator of life, and how resurrection truth affected Abraham's decisions in life. And just reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accordingly, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from hence also he received him in a figure." And here's a man who, because he believes that Jesus Christ is the originator, the creator of all life, and because he believes that that power that Christ has not only can create from nothing all that exists, but he believes that it can raise one who has died back to life just as easily. And it affects Abraham's choices in life. It affects his choice in ministry. And so when God commanded Abraham to do something, he could do it. Why could he do it? Because he believed that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, originally in creation and in the resurrection as well. He believes that God can speak to a dead man and he'll come to life. And so it affects Abraham's choices. And Abraham, of course, goes on to obey God. And, of course, you know the story that God provides a provided sacrifice. And, of course, that's what happened in our lives, too. God provided someone to die in our place so that we could have eternal life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate. And so, taking Abraham for an example, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And you can turn there. We'll look at several verses in Romans chapter 4. That have to do with how Abraham's was affected and how it affected his life, how it affects our life as well because of that. I'm just going to read in verses 18 to 25, Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and down. Speaking of Abraham, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And once again, we see that Abraham was proven even before the offering of Isaac, when he was told to believe God, that God would make a great nation, and in fact nations, from him. And he was too old to have children. His wife was too old to have children. But he believed God. And once again, it goes back to creation. If God can create us in the beginning and make life and put life on this earth, then he has no problem with someone who's beyond age. And I know people have a hard time believing in the virgin birth and the miraculous things in the Bible. But if you can believe that God is the creator of the whole universe from nothing, and he is the author of life, the originator of life, then these things be... So, what do we say about Abraham? To me, he's logical to believe God and trust God. If you really believe that God is the originator of life, then you can plan your life and live your life in the light of that, and it will change your life. How does that affect our lives? The Lord calls us to be his disciples. And he saved us with purpose that we would be his servants and we would serve him. And to me, that meant leaving my home, the farm out in Joyce, Washington, way out on the Olympic Peninsula, and going to Chile in 1970 to minister and preach the gospel and share the gospel. The good news with the boys and girls and men and women there in Chile. And to some of you, it may have meant being here at Fellowship Bible Church in Ann Arbor. I see some faces here that I've seen here for a long time. Brother James back there. He seems to be part of the woodwork here. And why? Why? I can tell you why. Because he believed God. I believe God. I believe this. I really believe it's true. I believe that God is not only the creator, but he's the author of life. And resurrection is not a problem for him. Not a problem at all. And that affected Abraham's life. Do you remember when he gave Lot the first choice? And he took what was left over? How could Abraham be such a man? It affected his life. He believed in the resurrection. He believed in the power of God that gives life, and he that hath the Son hath life, just like said there in 1 John. And so it changes our lives too. Our motivation for serving God is because we do believe that we will be resurrected, and one day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll give account as stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ, as servants of the Lord, and we look forward to that day. Let's continue to read there in verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was his faith in that God of the life, a God of resurrection. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe in him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. There, once again, stating that Abraham is our father, and that he has given us the example of faith to believe and to trust in the Lord, and we follow in his footsteps in that. Why? Because we believe that God is the God of light, the creator of the universe, and that he is able to raise even dead men to life and raise them up. And here again, this is not written for Abraham. This was written for us in the year 2012, that we could read it, because it has to do with us, because the promises that the Lord has given for the resurrection are as real for us as they were to Abraham. And he is a God of the living, not of the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses, that was on Good Friday, and was raised again for our justification. And that is for not just Abraham's, but for our justification as well. So we have wonderful things to trust the Lord and to believe the Lord in. I just want to move back to how Peter, what this meant in Peter's life when he's preaching the gospel. When we go to Chile, or when Pastor Matt is speaking here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we have a message to give. We have the gospel message to give. And the resurrection plays a principal part in that. Just want to read in Acts chapter 3 as Peter's preaching in the beginning of the church, church age. And in, I just want to read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Listen, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he explained about the resurrection to the Sadducees, he said, God is the God of the living. Now watch how Peter starts his in verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Therefore, we are witnesses. And you can just see Peter as he talks about the originator, the Prince of Life. You kill the Prince of Life, but of course God raised him up. The same power that creates the universe is the power that raises the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same power that raises up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and raises up our loved ones that die in Christ, and will raise us one day as well. And that surety and that assurance. So, what's the message that we have to share with people today? This is the same message, that God is the God of the living, and that death is merely a doorway for the believer into the presence, the very presence and glory of the Lord, where we'll be with him forever. And that's the purpose he has. That's the good news that we take to South America. That's the good news that alcoholic man up in the Kingy in the mountains found at age 25. And I didn't ask him his age now, but he's well up in years, and even his sons are well in years. So the Lord, it does a great work. So that is the message that we take, and we continue to preach that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And that's the message that we carry. And I know that's the message that Fellowship Bible Church preaches right here in Ann Arbor. And we'll always, we trust, hold to that message to preach. So, this brings me, I'm going to hop back to Romans chapter 4, to where this brings us assurance and brings us not only a purpose and a message to be preached, but it brings us also the assurance that we stand on. And chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, just reading these two verses. Therefore, being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So Paul here concludes that Abraham's faith in a living God, in the originator of life, and in the God who, the Savior who God raised up from the dead, that gives that assurance that we have been justified and that we stand in the Lord. It is sad to say that in South America, in the countries we work in Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, most people, probably over 75% of the people, do not trust by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow Rome's teaching on sacraments, on doing good works, And I still remember the day owner of a radio station where we did broadcasts of gospel messages. I still remember the day was killed, and the radio announced over and over again for the next several days and all the good things that he had done in life. They're trying to remember all the good things that he had done in life. What we remember is the good that Christ did for us. That's what opens the door of heaven for us. And that's why we go and preach the gospel. And I know that's why Fellowship Bible Church supports some of our missionaries who are down there preaching the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is exclusive. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And it's that simple. It's an exclusive gospel. So the vast majority, I don't know, I estimate between 40 and 50 million people still there in Argentina and Chile and Uruguay don't know Christ as Savior. Many boys and girls probably never ever met a real believer in all their life. No one's ever come to their town or to their country area to explain to them the good news of the gospel. So what we do as a local church here in Ann Arbor, and what we do as missionaries that go out to Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, has everything to do with the resurrection. Because God is able to raise up those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had so many different portions that I wanted to share, but I'm just going to go to John chapter 14 and verse 3. John chapter 14 and verse 3. You have to forgive me for looking up so many scriptures, but the resurrection to me is really exciting. It's as exciting as creation, and it's as exciting as life itself. I look forward to it. I have no idea if the Lord will return before and will be changed and in the twinkling of an eye and will go up without being buried or not. I have no idea how that will be. But I look forward to it because it's the power of God. Terrific power. It changed all of Abraham's perspective on life. It changed my perspective on life. And made it easy to leave everything behind and go to South America and preach the gospel to a people that needed to hear because of that great power and love of our Lord and God. So I'll just read there in John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. And that's where the resurrection, our resurrection, fits in with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised, he went to prepare a place, and he's coming again because we're going to be with him there for all eternity. And so the resurrection takes on real important part in our future. It's not over yet. It hasn't finished. The Lord's still working. He's still preparing a place. And he's still planning to come again to take us to be with him there. And Abraham's already there. Isaac's already there. Jacob's there. And many of our loved ones are already there enjoying his presence. And we too shall be there to enjoy his presence. The power of God and of his resurrection stands with us today. So, my thanks to all of you. I don't know every one of you, but all of you that hold the ropes here in the local church and preach the gospel here in Ann Arbor and that help our missionaries that are out in South America, and I know you support missionaries in other parts of the world today as well. My thanks to you for doing that because the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is sure. And those that trust in Christ as Savior, they will be raised on that day as well and will enjoy all that Christ has prepared for us for all eternity. So the Lord strengthen your hands, especially when you come together as a body to worship the Lord like today. The Lord strengthen your hands and enable you to be obedient as Abraham was, by faith, because I haven't seen a resurrected person yet, but by faith I have seen all of this creation that he's made and the life that he's put on this earth. And I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of life, the originator of life, and he will raise us up on that day. The Lord bless you and strengthen you. And if someone here feels burdened to go to South America and join Gospel Mission of South America and preach the gospel, you're welcome. And we would always enjoy hearing from you. We just came from Northern Baptist Bible College up on by Dunbar, Wisconsin. And it was good in the last meeting to see a large number of young people come forward indicating that they believe the Lord's calling them into missions, into world missions, not all for South America, because there are millions in China and India and other parts of the world, the Muslim world, that need the gospel. And I always say, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd put every one of them into missions. Not all in South America, but all of them into missions, because there are few people. The Lord said, the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers in the harvest field. And a missionary from the Philippines, Virginia Pinoya, when I was a little boy, she came home on furlough, and she was talking to us, and she said, is it fair that some boys and girls hear the gospel over and over and over and over again, and some boys and girls have never even heard it one time? Well, I'm an American. Sense of fair play. That's not fair. No, of course not. Just think about it. Millions and millions, even billions, we could say, of boys and girls never heard the gospel one time. And the Lord said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is great, the laborers are few. So we take it seriously, because Abraham did as well. Hebrews 11 says Abraham could have gone back, but he didn't. And we don't plan to go back either. And I'm thankful for those of you here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, at Fellowship Bible Church, that don't go back either. You keep pushing ahead with the gospel message, because many have never heard, and our Lord died to save them from their sin. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it's not difficult to understand. Even boys and girls can understand that Jesus loved them and died to save them from their sins. And if they trust in you, they can have eternal life and know that resurrection power operating in their lives for all eternity. We thank you for Fellowship Bible Church. We thank you for Pastor Matt. We ask your blessing on this church, that you would continue to strengthen them for the ministry of the gospel, that you would help them to be a bright testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in this city and beyond to the ends of the earth. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.